you're hearing this, help. Hi. My name doesn't matter. My age doesn't matter. My life, my education, my likes and hobbies, my loved ones, none of them matter to the Islamic Republic. What matters is that I have a voice that needs to be silenced. Living under oppression is not a new subject. Many people have lived in chains, in different forms and shapes of shackles. The hardest part of it is keeping hope alive in yourself. For as long as I can remember, I've been struggling not to succumb. There aren't many ways to fight the Islamic Republic anyways. Until 2 months ago, the best you could do was to run away, leave your childhood and family and friends behind, and build a whole new life in a whole new country. I've lost count of how many people I've lost to immigration, how many childhood friends and cousins and schoolmates who are now scattered all around the world and haven't seen their families in years. But you know what? All of that is enough. Now we've created a way to fight. And there are so many things that are going wrong in this country. So many people in power who steal and lie and kill. But I'm so glad that women's rights, or rather the complete lack of it, is what has caught the world's attention. It's a controversial topic since the source of this cruelty is Islam, and Westerns don't have a clue what Islam actually is and blindly defend it because they're told it's a religion of brotherhood and peace. I've been called an Islamophobe so many times because I've talked about the truth of living in an Islamic country. The truth of living in an Islamic country is a 14-year-old girl who gets beheaded with a sickle by her father, and her father, who knows he'll receive only 9 years of prison in this country, so he does it to punish her shameful daughter the way he thinks is right. The truth of living in Iran is hearing this news when you wake up one day, and the fear that conquers your body. Because, you know, this could be you if you did something your father didn't approve of. The truth of living in Iran was when male teachers were banned from entering our all-girls school, and we had to hold our classes in a hidden room because, in their sick minds, a female plus a male immediately equals sex. The truth of living in Iran is that I could have been killed. The day Mahsa Amini was arrested, I ran away from the van she was transported in. The very van that she was transported in. And I got lucky, honestly, because I knew my way around the area, so I hid behind the bushes and took a shortcut. I almost was the girl who got hit in the head so bad she died, just because she was a woman who didn't wear a perfect hijab. I can die today or tomorrow or any other day that this regime is in power, just because I exist and want to have rights. Before all this, I wished I lived in a free country and didn't even know where Iran was, because these were all the truths of living in Iran. Now, I'm proud that there is a war to win. I'm glad that I'm part of changing history. I'm happy that I'm talking right now, even though I know the punishment for using my voice is a rope around my neck. And if you're hearing this, you can be a part of this revolution too.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome to chapter 93 of The Last Thoughts of a Busy Mind, still in the theme of LOU, living under oppression. You just heard from my friend, and I will get to what she said in a bit. First off, my drink today is again malt beverage. It's lemon and mint flavored. If you want to know the brewery, it's from Shams, which is not important. We're in a huge boycott campaign against some labels. This one apparently wasn't boycotted from what I gathered, what I researched. We are boycotting the brands that are advertising on state TV in order for them to pull their advertising money, dealing a blow to them. Anyways. So it had worked in some sense. One of the active members against people's movement is an ice cream company called Mihan, and they have been dealt quite a blow. So this chapter is named El Pueblo. By the way, I don't speak Spanish, so sorry in advance, but it's called El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido. Which means people who united are never defeated. It's the name of a song. It's a Chilean song from 1975. And it's been used as a political and, well, revolutionary song, both in Chile and actually in Iran in 1979. It was translated with lyrics being called Barpochis, meaning rise. And it was, when it was sang in Iran, it was used as a leftist song. It mainly talked about being united and also the plight of the worker. Zamin, Ghani, Zeranjabar, Zega. And you know, it's a great song, by the way. Great song. If you haven't heard it, go ahead, search for it. I'm gonna put a link to it in the description to a version of it. Probably the original one that was being sang by, I hope I'm not pronouncing it wrong, Kuilapayon. Kuilapayon, I don't know. So first of all, about what my friend said, because as I said, one of the things about LOU is I said LOU, didn't I? It's LUO. About LUO is amplifying voices of every different existence under the oppression of the Islamic Republic. And as my friend said, it is hard to very easily convey that to people whose idea of Islam is mainly outside of it. I know I'm being a bit, probably a bit, facetious and exaggerating, but I can say, at least in my interactions with people outside of Iran, their idea is mostly either the Nation of Islam, which Muhammad Ali, the boxer, was a part of, and it's not that organization has its own problem. I'm not gonna get into it. The other thing is the active Islamophobia by people like Trump or stuff like that, and that is a problem, don't get me wrong. Islamophobic people like Trump are not right, but you have to understand the reality of living under Islamic State. First of all, much like any other organized religion, much like Christianity when you look into it, or Judaism or Buddhism or any other religion, Islam is not a religion of peace. There is no religion of peace. I don't care how many religious people are pissed off with this. There is no such thing as a religion of peace. Once you get into an organized religion, it's always about gathering more power, exerting that power, and basically doing things in the old-fashioned conservative way, which is the goal of Islamic states like Iran, like Pakistan, like Afghanistan. And the thing you should know about the Islamic State is that the justification for everything that my friend said for, separating people by gender, the justification for killing LGBT members, justification for killing Mahsa Amini, and justification for what I'm going to talk about very shortly is Islam. It's okay because Islam said it's okay. So yeah, it's not Islamophobic to support the Iranian people, in this case, burning their hijab, because it's as Islamophobic as opposing the US government for not giving abortion rights is Christianophobe. I don't know if Christophobe. Judeo-Christian, basically, when religion becomes rule of law, and justification for the rule of law becomes religious, it's wrong. I don't care if it's Islam or if Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, or Judaism, any other organized religion, if it's fucking Scientology, it's wrong, and it's not Islamophobic. That's the big thing. I might do a whole episode on that later. But to add this week, the reason I said El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido, People United Are Never Defeated, is because this past week, these past 3 days, have been kind of important. We had, according to some news sources, the biggest, some, as I'm saying, I'm mainly meaning Iran International, which does, it does have an agenda, but it is a news source, meaning when it reports on the news, there's usually some truth in it. Though it does have an agenda, it does not report on everything equally, but it does report on news as needed. It was the largest strike of businesses in Iran in modern history, which is great. Because again, El Pueblo Unido Jamás Será Vencido. And I'm recording this at 1:30 a.m. again. I'm not going to say it in every episode, but just know I am recording this because I don't know when I will not have access to internet anymore. So I'll take any chance I can. So in the past 3 days, we've had a massive strike. Again, with businesses, everything except essential workers, meaning supermarkets that need to give food to people, and pharmacies and doctors. Almost everything else, to a degree, have shut down. And many of the marketplaces or bazaars in Iran have shut down, like completely not open for business. And that has meant that, as usual, with any sort of civil form of protest, the totalitarian government of Islamic Republic has retaliated. And in the city of Izeb, in the southwest, southwest of Iran, I'm sorry, I don't know east and west very well, I usually have to think for a moment and remember which is left, which is right. It's left, which means west. Southwest, they have attacked people, they've shot people, and I want to tell you the story of a boy, which was the news of today. A 10-year-old kid was murdered. A 10-year-old kid who had his whole life ahead of himself. His name was Kian. And, God damn it. There are a few, you know, the images speak a thousand words. And there are some images here that I don't think I will ever be able to not think of. One of them is him showing his little invention that he made, and it just felt so human, sitting in the yard of his house with a small container of water, made a little boat with popsicle sticks. And the reason that I said that, because it's something that I know I've done, one of the things about this situation is the survivor's guilt. It's because people like him had their whole life ahead of themselves, and they're murdered. They're not martyrs, they're murdered. They are victims. Their murderers are still in power. And as long as they stay in power, they will not see one ounce of accountability. As, how much accountability did the killers of Mahsa Amini got? And that is the reason this whole movement started. Like, even on a symbolic level, the Islamic Republic is not ready to back down and just, I don't know, punish them the same way people in the US punished Derek Chauvin, the George Floyd guy, the guy that killed George Floyd. So even on a symbolic level, they're not willing to do that. And the killers of Kian, the killers of Mahsa, Nika, Sarina, all of Asra, Parmis, all of these people that I've talked about over and over again, they will not face an ounce of accountability. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit emotional. Another image is the Islamic Republic has a history, especially in the current movement, of stealing bodies, stealing corpses. Because they know that if the corpse remains in the family's hand, they will have a funeral, and that funeral might lead to more protests because it gives the people a place to gather. It will become a point of civil unification. So they steal them. They did it with the body of Nika Shakarami, and almost every account of people who are dead under their arms is of stolen bodies, of bodies that nobody knows where they are or where they are buried. So Kian's family didn't give up his body. They held on to his body and surrounded it with ice from their fridge and their freezers and the neighbor's freezers. Many of you who are listening to this probably know a 10-year-old or know a parent. And I want you to imagine losing your kid and not even having the peace of mind that his body is going to come back to you. Even in war situations, there's usually an accountability for the bodies. But here, you don't even know if your child is going to come back to you. So you held on to his corpse, keeping it cold, just so you can have a funeral for him. Mm-hmm. With every day that the Islamic Republic stays in power, there are more people like Kian. There are more kids that are being murdered. There are more lives that are being snuffed out, more hopes and dreams that are being completely removed. Because, well, as my friend said, they had a voice. Because they breathed. And because when a totalitarian regime feels it's nearing its end, it will become like an animal attacking heartlessly. I can't tell you how those images are burnt into my brain, how hard they have been burnt into my memory. I will not forget it. Let me tell you, I will never forget it. And if you saw those images, I'm sure you will not forget it either. He was 10 years old. Nika and Sarina were 16. Mahsa was 22. Parmis and Asra were 14. I'm older than all of them. And the fact that I'm alive, the fact that my friend is alive, as she said, is a miracle, is luck. I don't have much more time to talk about, but I just want you to imagine what is it that living under oppression does to you. It if you can imagine it, I'm sorry. But that is how we live. How are we surviving every day? I will see you next week, unless there is no internet left.